When you become a widow, the heartache can be overwhelming. You feel lost, you feel broken, you feel alone, and sometimes you feel like the pain will never go away. I believe that every widow has the capacity to endure, the power to overcome, and the determination to create a new life filled with meaning and purpose. That's why I wanted to create a show called Widow 180. People tell me they come here for the positivity. They listen to Widow 180, the podcast, to be inspired. They come to Widow 180 to be reminded that they have options, that the pain of loss is not a life sentence. Widow 180 is about turning tragedy, loss, and fear into strength, creativity, and a new passion for life. My mission each week is to arm you with these powerful stories of transformation and knowledge so that you can navigate life after loss. I'm Jen Zwink. I'm so glad you're listening. Let's get to the episode. Good morning. As promised, here is the second half of my interview with Eva Still. She's pretty amazing, right? Let's get to the episode.
So, and I returned to Santa Marta, you know, after this 5-day hiking, and still chaos. And like, I find it very charming, but it, like, at first glance, it's a little jarring. And then I returned back to this chaos, and it was like, oh, this beautiful chaos. Like, I just totally fell in love with the city. It's right on the edge of, you know, the Caribbean. Like, I see the ocean right now through my window, and at the base of the Sierra Nevada Mountain, which is known by the indigenous communities here as the heart of the world. And it's a place that, you know, energetically is felt to bring people for, it's a place for healing, I guess.
That is amazing.
So it was after that, I had, you know, my flight back to Toronto at the end of the 7 months. And that's when I went back and said, okay, I'm selling the house. I'm officially resigning from the hospital. And that's where everyone came in of, okay, now you've completely lost it. Like, you had your time. Now it's like kind of
back to reality. Let's have a talk.
And I just said, you know what, come and visit me before you make your judgments. Because of course, you know, there's a lot of misrepresentation of, especially of Colombia in the media. So everyone, no, like, narcos, and it's so dangerous, and come and visit me before you decide. And yeah, everyone who's come is like, wow, well done.
Oh, well done. Yes.
Yeah.
You had to pack up your stuff, decide what you were going to take down there, which probably wasn't much, right?
Yep. One big blue backpack, and that was it.
Oh my God. That's amazing. Okay, so that first weekend that you were there, you told me that you went to a beach resort and that they offered you a job teaching yoga, which again, it's like, universe.
Exactly.
Thank you. It's your dream. Your dream is happening. And yet, you still felt like there's a dark cloud over you. Oh my God. Okay. So let's talk about this a little bit. Tell me how that felt for you, because I know how that feels. Things are going your way and things are going the way that you want them to, but it's not the life that you thought that you would be living. Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. It was sort of this disconnect of, you know, looking around and literally being in paradise with the job of my dreams, like teaching yoga on the beach with the sound of the ocean behind, and feeling this crushing heartache all the time. And so this, and I think in a way it was almost, how do I want to say? It was like, shoot, like if I still feel this here in the most perfect setting I could ever imagine, then I'm never going to be happy again. This is, you know, I'm like broken beyond repair kind of thing. Like it was, I think it added another layer of that kind of despondence, I guess, but also this like disconnect of going to the classes and putting on a happy face and then inside having, you know, and, you know, even with social media and stuff, friends from home, like, oh, so happy that you got over this. And like, you're doing so well now. And it's like, okay,
just you're over it. Yeah, you're over it.
And palm trees and like, I'm smiling in a picture. Still had this, crushing heartache.
You kind of wonder, is it possible for that to go away? Because here I am and look at all of this and I'm here and I still feel it. Mm-hmm. Now, did that kind of lighten up for you? Was it just like, okay, I need to adjust to being here and that this is the life that I am making? As you got into your patterns and your life there, that weight was maybe lifted a little?
I think there were several different factors. I guess a lot of it was, And I mean, it's never just time. It's what happens in the time. But I mean, at that point, it was 3 years after Drew's death. I ended up then moving from the beach resort to Santa Marta, ended up kind of getting going down a path of partying a lot and going out and just keeping like super, super busy and not like, don't stop and feel I'm fine. Like I can keep this happy face kind of thing. I can kind of just go with like the rhythm of things here. And then COVID happened. And at that point I had opened up a studio in downtown. The quarantine here was really strict. Like you could go out one day a week with your ID on your assigned day just to get like groceries and parking. Only thing that was open. All of a sudden it was like, okay, nowhere to run, no more distractions. And so I think that's when, and I guess time-wise as well, I was at a point of being able to do maybe some of the deeper processing and deeper healing. And that's where I started writing my book.
Yes.
So it was like, you know, writing has always been one of my personal kind of therapeutic practices. And so it's like, okay, I have no excuse now, right? There's no more busyness to hide.
No busy. Yeah. Exactly. You're staying busy, busy, busy. Right.
And it was really hard and really painful. But I think it was what I needed. So I do think looking back, I mean, I guess there were many different turning points along the way, but I think that time frame was when I kind of got my feet back on the ground in more of a stable, kind of settled way. Because before it was just, I'm doing these things, I'm going, and don't stop, don't slow down.
Yeah. Don't feel it. And now you're like, okay, I'm facing it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm getting it all out on paper. And that is such a fantastic release of all of that. So you started working on that, and that is still in the works.
Still in the works. But it's interesting. I had this insight the other day, because I'm so close to the end, and I'm aware that I have this, like, I can feel it in my stomach now when I talk about it, this resistance to finishing it, because it's become my writing has become my companion. And so, and this has been my way of staying connected with Drew and reliving all of our memories. And so there is this part of me that doesn't quite want to finish and let go, because then
that's funny. Yeah,
then what happens in that space? So I'm kind of working with that right now.
That you had that. Not funny, but I mean that you just had that realization, but that is true. That's like your connection.
Exactly.
Or that you've made it right now. That right now is your connection. Now you just need to find something else.
Exactly.
You can do that. Have that same feeling. Okay. So there was also another book that you were also working on. You have the memoir that's going on, and then you had another one. So tell us about that one.
Exactly. So the other one is like a collaboration with another friend of mine who's also a yoga teacher and psychotherapist, and she's gone through different kind of loss. And so it's called Finding Your Inner Compass, Navigating Loss and Life Changes. And so it's basically like a 30-day kind of guidebook or workbook, integrating different kinds of journaling practices, yoga, breath work, somatic techniques, but specifically around grief and loss.
Wonderful.
And so that's been, and that's much more recent. I mean, we started 4 months ago, and we're very close.
Good.
So I think it also goes to show, you know, that sometimes I get so frustrated with the memoir. I'm like, why is this taking so long? But it's, you know, my own personal therapy. This is, you know, all of the processes that her and I have experienced, both in our own healing journeys, as well as, you know, therapeutically working with our clients. So it's just kind of come together on its own. So that's really exciting. And then it's with her and I have an upcoming retreat in September, working with a lot of these techniques as well.
Yes. Okay. Tell us a little bit about the retreats that you do. Is it always at the same place? Well, you can go ahead and tell me.
So the upcoming one is the same place as where I had the one that we just did in February. And those are more sort of therapeutic retreats. So there are yoga classes and workshops, and that's been at the same hotel because it's beautiful. And it's great because they have like a co-working space for the workshops and then a separate yoga space for the classes. And it's in a little town that's just 2 hours away from where I live. So you have like the ocean, the river, this very kind of sacred mountain here. And it's a funky little town. So I've looked at a lot of retreat places, and that's my go-to.
Fun.
It's got a really good vibe to it.
Okay, so this upcoming one in September that's happening. What are the dates of that one?
September 15th to 20th
15th
of 20.
To the 20th. Okay. So, and we're going to put all of the information in the description today, so we can kind of point people in that direction, because I have looked at your Instagram and these pictures are amazing. Like, this place looks incredible. I want to go.
It would be an honor to have you there.
Oh God, that would be so nice. I was wondering though, if you could kind of give us some easy breathing exercises and things that we can kind of practice at home to deal with stress and anxiety and the heavy weight of everything that we are dealing with. If you could maybe go over a couple of easy things for us and Absolutely. Talk us through it, that would be wonderful.
So there's one grounding practice that's really beautiful and powerful that you can kind of do anywhere. That's called the butterfly hug. And so it's a form of bilateral stimulation. And so you can bring the hands either to the outer shoulders or just underneath the collarbones. So with the fingers pointing up, the thumbs kind of coming just underneath the collarbones. And then gently patting one hand and then the other. And then breathing deeply while you're here. And sometimes it's nice to add, if people have like an affirmation or some sort of phrase that they find to be calming or soothing. I always like to use like, I am safe, I am here. And deepening the breath. So that's a nice one called the butterfly hug. Another practice that's really powerful, if I used to have a lot of anxiety attacks, like debilitating anxiety attacks. So that's a good one for anxiety as well. Something called orienting, which is basically looking around your space. And so you can either just name, for example, just look around and name three things you see, because that gives it brings you right into the present moment and it gives your mind something to focus on, right? Our brains are always like, they're always trying to protect us, right? All of this stuff is coming from, you know, very good intentions from our nervous system. Yeah. So it's sort of giving it another job instead of worrying, you know, focusing on something and naming it. With that orienting, you can also use the five senses. So what is something I see? So I see my plant in the corner. What is something I feel? I feel my feet on the floor. What is something I hear? I hear my fan. What is something I smell? I smell this flower in the corner. What is something I taste? I have like the aftertaste of my lemon water here.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Really focusing on the senses. Breath practices that I really like. There's one called the physiological sigh, which is taking two sips of air in through the nose, really, really, really filling up the lungs. And then a slow, long exhale through the mouth. Two in through the nose. Slow, long exhale through the mouth. And you can feel that one like instantaneously. Yeah.
That's something you can do like while you're driving. Or
exactly.
Yeah, that's a quick and easy one.
Another, anytime when you're lengthening the exhales, that helps to soothe the nervous system as well. So for example, before bed, or if you know you're trying to sleep and you find your mind kind of running as it tends to do, you can put your hands on your belly and then, for example, taking a count of four in and then exhaling for five or six, maybe even seven, and inhaling for four, or if four is too much, for three, and then exhaling for five or six or seven. So starting to lengthen through the exhales, that activates our parasympathetic nervous system, which brings us into rest and digest out of that kind of fight flight mode. Those are probably two of my favorite. There's another one called box breathing, which is inhaling for four, holding for four, exhaling for four, holding for four.
Okay.
Inhale for four. So again, there's different techniques and different people will connect with different, personally, I love the physiological side just because it's so easily accessible. I know a lot of people really love the box breathing. So it's, you know, nice to try different ones. And I think what's really important as well with any of these kind of grounding or like nervous system regulation techniques is practicing them when you feel calm and good, because then it becomes that much more automatic in your body. As soon as you start to maybe feel, you know, the heart palpitations or the tingly hands, you have your tool to pull in right away, and it feels familiar, and that makes it all the more accessible.
I would like to invite you to get our latest freebie designed just for you, How to Get Your Life Back Together After Loss, a 10-step checklist. After countless hours of research, interviewing hundreds of widows, and through my own experience with grief, I have compiled this list of the 10 steps you need to take to put your life back together after losing a loved one. It's normal to feel overwhelmed and also normal to not know where to start when it comes to picking up the pieces of your shattered world. Here's where you start. You can get this free 10-step checklist at www.widow180.com/freebie. That's www.widow180.com/freebie.
I'm glad you mentioned the sleeping, the struggle with sleeping, and how these are things that we could do while we're kind of laying there and our head is spinning, that we can kind of pull ourselves back to ourselves instead of our head.
Yes.
Pull yourself back to yourself and just do these breathing exercises to kind of calm yourself down. These are good. These are good ones. Yeah.
And there's another practice called yoga nidra, which is like known as yogic sleep or non-sleep deep rest. And that I love. That's completely changed my life. And I'm doing the teacher training right now. And the two leaders of the program have like hundreds of recordings on YouTube. There's 2-minute ones, hour long ones, ones for anxiety, ones for insomnia, one for the full moon. And it's amazing because there's a lot of meditations really good. But if we have a lot of worries in our head, and if we're feeling already really kind of activated, meditating can be really challenging. And also if we're kind of really activated because our mind is interpreting danger, and we're just telling our body, okay, just, you know, sit still and like think of your breath, that can actually increase anxiety some of the time.
Yeah.
And so I really like yoga nidra because it brings you have something to focus on. And scientifically, it brings us to this very restful state where we're still conscious, but kind of having the benefits of sleep. So that's one of my top recommendations.
I have done that before. Yoga nidra, I love it. You and I were talking a lot about books that you had turned to and books that that really helped you. I'm obsessed with reading everything. So what are some books that you can recommend?
Yeah. I actually brought some of my
other widows that are struggling and concerned too.
This one I really liked by David Kessler called Finding Meaning, the sixth, I can never say that, stage of grief. I did the grief educator program with him, and he's just very knowledgeable, and I found it, he uses a lot of case examples. And so I found it just kind of comforting and reassuring, and also gives good tips of, how to be with their grief, you know, not so much of like what to do to get over it. But this one I just got called Writing to Heal the Soul, that's transforming grief and loss through writing.
Oh,
I can send you a list of these after.
Who wrote that one?
This one is Susan Zimmerman.
I think I saw that one. I need to get that one.
And I love it because journaling has been such an important part of my journey, but it's been in a very just whatever occurs to me kind of way. So it's cool at this point having almost more of like a formal guide. And then I guess this is another nice one called Anchored, that uses, so it doesn't, it's not specifically about grief, but it's more about nervous system regulation, and has very useful like practices and exercises, I think. And then some of the other ones are more kind of yoga focused. So the chakras in grief and trauma, that has different, you know, postures that help kind of with the mind-body connection. And then healing through yoga. So this was, there's something called grief yoga.
Okay.
So that's what this is based on. And then one that I use a lot with clients is Anxious Grief by Claire Bidwell-Smith.
Yeah,
so it's more of like a clinical book, but if, you know, anyone's working with a therapist, or they can kind of, you know, work with this alongside. And if you have any Spanish speaking listeners, this book just came out here by a grief expert here in Colombia, called El Duelo Duele. Eso está bien. So it's like, grief hurts, and that's okay. So it's really talks a lot about a lot of, you know, the kind of some of the cultural expectations around grief of, you know, closure and moving on and all of those things. And he's saying, no, this isn't, loss is a natural part of life. Grief is a process of adapting to loss, again, in whatever way that is.
Yeah.
And how do we be with our grief and move with our grief in a way that it can, sort of be integrated in as we grow forward into the life that, whatever that life will be for, you know.
Right. Thank you for those recommendations. I'm going to try and list all of those out.
Yeah, I can send those to you by
email. That would be great.
So you have the authors and the titles.
I do have one final question, but the thing that I wanted everyone to kind of take away from today, hearing your story, just, I think it's so important. And I love this about you, is that you were hearing this inside voice of yours, this intuition that a lot of times that we don't trust ourselves and we don't pay enough attention to what our intuition is telling us in the choices that we are trying to make. And you did that. You were like, this is what I feel is right for me. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times we tend to kind of push that away. But you really embrace that. And I love that about you. So I feel like that's so important, and a really important point of this entire interview is for people to pay attention to that voice and not push it aside and not ignore it and not think that you are making the wrong decisions, but go with kind of what you feel. And that gut feeling is what you should lean on. Anyway, what is one final piece of advice that you can give to widows that are struggling?
Be so kind with yourself and compassionate. Don't compare with anyone else. You know, and as much as possible, try to release or like let go of expectations of timeline and what it should look like. I'm saying that in air quotes, and what you know you should be doing, because it is different for everyone. And it, you know, sometimes it feels like we're going backwards, but it's, you know, moving through the kind of spiral, you know, at a different point. Ask for help and accept help. I think, you know, I went to so many different therapists and different kinds of therapy, and different processes will connect with different people. So I had some, in my experience, horrible therapist who was like, no. Then you try a couple more and then you find a really good fit. And, you know, that was really helpful for me. Asking, I think my personality is like, no, I can do it all on my own. I don't need anything. Allowing people in who, you know, when people are there and want to help, and just being really kind that, you know, some days, like, no, getting out of bed is too much and that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And being really kind. And maybe that comes down with getting in touch with the intuition as well, is starting to notice when do I really need to rest, and staying in bed all day is truly what I need. And when is it something that's keeping me in a state that I don't really want to be in, kind of thing.
Yes.
So it's like when we do want to sort of maybe push ourselves gently or encourage ourselves to, you know, I think our physical care as well is so important, even if it's going for like a 2-minute walk, or even just going and standing by the window to get some, you know, sunlight on your face. Those little things can make a huge difference, you know, nourishing ourselves in whatever way that's possible, because it does help to give like our physical body the strength to start to do some of the emotional processing and healing as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen.
Tell us where to find you, your website, and all the information about the retreats and everything. Mm-hmm.
So I'm on Instagram as Eva Still Yoga. And I will admit I'm newly coming into the field of like Instagram and just getting my website off the ground. So it's still in process stage, but it's there. And my website is evastill.com.
Okay.
So I do have the information there for the retreat, and it's in process. So.
Wonderful. I'm so excited, and I can't wait for your book to come out. So we will be looking for that too.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking to us and sharing your story and then sharing all of these wonderful tips and things that we can take away from today. Help us on our own journeys, because we're all making our way through it, right? Thank you so much. And yeah, we'll keep in touch.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Jen, and to all of you for listening.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Widow 180, the podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you're seeking daily inspiration and guidance, you can follow me on Facebook at Widow 180, the community, on YouTube at Widow 180, the channel, and on Instagram at Widow 180. If you're interested in more grief and widowhood resources, including our latest freebie, How to Get Your Life Back Together After Loss, a 10-step checklist, head over to www.widow180.com/freebie. That's www.widow180.com/freebie.